Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, the All-Star starting team has been announced. We'll discuss that, and also who's been snubbed and who can snap up those remaining spots. We'll be discussing the injuries to Chris Paul and Rudy Gay, and where that leaves their respective teams. And what the hell is happening at the Knicks. We'll be talking about that whole debacle, and which of the two parties is likely to leave. And is the NBA season too long? And we'll end it with a DBS made up of the starting backcourt of the All-Star game. So shut up. Sit down, because JBT is about to begin.
Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busink at JBT Real NJ, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.14 on this Sunday, the 22nd of January. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate?
How are my levels now, mate? Am I sounding nice and beautiful?
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties earlier, but good. We are all good on that front.
It is quite warm, isn't it, Nicholas?
Yeah.
Are you sweating yet?
Hot day. Of course I'm, mate. I'm always sweating.
You're always sweaty. You're a very...
sweaty man.
What's the... You have a lot of galvanic skin response. You know, you should know that, mate. Sure. You're a bloody engineer.
I'm not a biometrist.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some things. What, you went to the tennis this week, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Aussie Open, for those that are fans of tennis, yes. And those in Melbourne town.
I went to day four during the day. I got Rod Laver tickets, which was a birthday gift from my dearest mother.
Oh.
So I went with her and my brother, and that was great. We saw the... We saw the entirety of the Istomin and Djokovic game.
Istomin, I like that
Istomin,
name.
Yeah. He was
that was some, a five-setter, yeah?
Yeah, five-setter, knocked Djokovic out, biggest upset of the tournament.
He made the Djokovic huge. Look like a joker.
Yeah. Yeah, huge game, great to see it live, very, very happy.
And the Phantom was there that day as well, but he couldn't get in until...
Yeah, the Phantomado went and couldn't come in, because obviously our game went a bit overtime and he couldn't come in. And he actually got the worst draw, I think. Like we got two women's games.
Yeah, everyone was telling me about this.
And a five setter.
Yeah.
Which was one of the best games of tennis I've ever seen. And he got Serena Williams and Rafael Nadal, but they were over so quickly. Serena and Rafael. It was Rafa v Baghdatis, which is like a pretty big game, but absolutely wiped the court with.
Are we anyway. A tennis podcast now?
I think we might be a tennis podcast, Jack.
I can imagine you being the guy at the tennis, like, calling out things and, like, accidentally coughing during a point, because you can't help it.
Oh, the stadium's loud. You can still talk and stuff. You don't have to, like, dead silent. That being said, it was, towards the end of that match, it was dead silent. You could hear a pin drop, because everyone was just concentrating on the tennis. It was, it was something else.
Did you see La La Land, Nick, yet?
Not yet. Chelsea's...
Come on, Chelsea, you're watching right now, I'm pretty sure. You need to see La La Land, okay? Respond to me on the live podcast if you want.
We are live as well.
We are live, yes. By the way, again, for the second week running. We've got one more live one probably happening next week, guys. Mm-hmm. But Nick, you've got to see La La Land, mate. Me and Ariel were listening to the soundtrack yesterday while we were playing
heard
PS4.
It is extremely good.
It is amazing. Emma Stone is bae. Ryan Gosling is bae.
Ryan Gosling is more bae.
Yeah, he's definitely...
I'm not sold on Emma Stone.
Ryan Gosling is a very sexy man.
Yes, Ryan.
He is a very good pianist. And by that, I mean he plays...
That was doubled, though.
There are elements where it looks like it's doubled, but there's also other parts where, like, you can actually see him playing. It's like with Christian Bale in Big Short. But anyway, movies, tennis. Let's talk about some basketball, Nicholas. NBA news with...
But I'm good at talking about this stuff.
Yeah, this is the best part of the podcast for you. The off-topic.
That
itself.
And the off-topic, yeah.
All right, NBA news with Nick Nothing and the J-Man. What do we got?
All right,
kick us off.
We'll start here with some Wizards news. Pretty standard on JBT Pod.
Oh,
at least
God.
One piece, mate. This one's actually legitimate. The NBA fined the Wizards $15,000 and assistant coach Sidney Lowe $5,000 for standing on the court at the end of the game against the Knicks.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't seen this, Google it. I quite literally did that today because I didn't catch the end of this game. But I heard the controversy about it. I Googled it, saw it. Very easy to research, but I thought it was a bit innocuous.
Innocuous?
Yes.
You cannot have an assistant coach out on the court.
He was literally maybe a foot over the line.
He was next to Courtney Lee.
LeBron, about 3 weeks ago, put a bottle flip 3 feet into the court.
Yeah, but that was the play was happening on the other side.
Shit like this happens all the time because you are so close to the actual sidelines. It's just, he shouldn't have done it, granted.
So you're saying
he shouldn't have been fined?
No,
he should have been fined.
Yeah.
But it was kind of people are losing their minds about this incident because, was it Brandon Jennings, yeah?
Courtney Lee.
Courtney Lee had the ball and
should have taken
had
the three.
Said
yep.
He didn't take the three because Sidney Lowe was there.
Yeah.
I
was yelling at him.
Don't buy it.
He was yelling at him, though.
But it doesn't matter. You got hecklers in the fans.
I understand.
Hecklers in the crowd who are courtside all the time. He said he didn't take that shot because Sidney Lowe was distracting him or, like,
he was in the way. He thought he was a defender. That's what he said.
I don't buy that.
Well, Nick, well, surprise, surprise, you're siding with the Washington Wizards.
No, it just the way the play turned out, like he pump-faked that first...
Yeah. And then he pump faked and drove.
No, he didn't take that first shot because he wanted to pump fake and drive.
Yeah, I'll agree to disagree. I think it's over now, but it was a very odd incident to happen.
He shouldn't have done it. He should know better. And to heckle the other team, I mean, that's.
And it just
unprofessional.
It just adds to the controversy surrounding the Knicks. They're just not having a good time.
Yeah,
aren't they?
No, it's not a good time down in New York.
Moving on from the Knicks Nation, mate. Delly has some new shoes, and he doesn't have a brand. He's not with Adidas. He's not with. Can you tell us the brand? Or I'll tell you the brand. His brand is Peak, and it's a Chinese Peak. Brand. And Knicks got for those that haven't seen them, Google Peak Matthew Dellavedova shoes. They look pretty slick. They certainly fit the design of the Milwaukee Bucks.
They definitely look cool. Like the Delly on the tongue of the
it looks really good.
Shoe looks really good.
Do you think they're better?
If you haven't checked out these shoes, you really should.
Check on Believe the Hype. We'll shout out to those boys.
Yeah, Believe the Hype have them on their website.
Do you think they're better than Paul George's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul George's were alright.
Yeah, you weren't very.
But Delly's are sick. I love that. The lined design, that texture on the sole.
It definitely doesn't really look like... It looks a bit more like a runner than an NBA shoe.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I think maybe it suits the way... That makes sense. Delly shoots. Delly shoots a lot. So you want a bit of arch support on the shoe, like a Kobe sort of shoe.
I mean, if these are reasonably priced, I might even take a look because they're not a brand name and they're going to be available in like over 70... I think it was 70 countries.
I can't see them being much either.
No, I can't either. I doubt they're going to be like, they're not, new LeBrons. But yeah, everyone seems to have a signature shoe these days. Nicky boy, you want to get... What brand would you have... Would you prefer to be a Nike man, an Under Armour man? Like, who do you F with, as they say?
I like Under Armour.
You're an Under Armour man. Interesting.
I like...
Adidas all the way, mate.
See, when I was playing tennis, I loved my Adidas shoes.
But with ball, you're an Under Armour man.
Steph Curry. I just always wanted Under Armour stuff, but right. I was caved and got... I think Under Armour, like, the logo looks cool.
Yeah. Steph's making some cool shoes apart from those dad ones.
Apart from that one. Yeah. All of their like... upper body skin stuff, all the Under Armour stuff looks really, really cool.
Yeah, they've been killing it lately. And the new Steph Curry is the red ones. I'll show you later. They're in the Slam magazine. They look pretty dank. They're not as good as James Harden's Adidas ones. But I think Adidas and Nike, they still run the game. But Steph certainly is putting a stronghold in. And for the record, I'm an Adidas man. All the way. And I mean, I do have Kyrie's, which are Nike.
You've got to put in some thought into... getting a Jordan shoe though.
Russ's
his own signature shoe, but they're Jordans.
Yeah, I've got a pair of Jordans. I just haven't worn. I'm about to sell them because I've got too many basketball shoes. But speaking of basketball players,
good segue.
That's the quality segue. CP3, and this it just doesn't get better for the Clippers with Blake Griffin being out for an extended period of time. Chris Paul. Is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a torn thumb ligament suffered in the OKC game. Nick Nelson, what does this mean for the Clips? Are they still going to make the playoffs? Are they going to be a top four?
They're still going to make the playoffs because the gulf between 7th and 8th in the West is just huge. They're not going to drop out of the playoffs. I mean, if we look at the current, if you look at the current standings right now, they are
fourth.
Yeah, they're fourth, yep. But they're still four games ahead. Oh my god, no, they're 11 games ahead of
that eighth spot.
Oh, well, so they'll be fine in terms
and
of
and Blake is expected playoffs. To come back pretty spoon, but
He's a pretty spoon. When Blake got injured, we touched on this, like, will the Clippers be okay? And I said that they would. Their win rate without Blake is fine. But then
without
recently
CP3.
After that, CP3 got injured.
Yeah.
And then they took a nosedive. And again, 6 to 8 weeks, that's... there'll be an All-Star break in there as well.
Yeah, so that helps. It'll
help mitigate the damage. But they're still going to be in
as long as they're healthy before the playoffs. And I mean, you want that top four seed so you can get hopefully a home court advantage. But and this is a stat. I'm going to steal your stats, mate. I'm going to be the stats man for right now. Over the past two seasons, the Clippers are 79-35, almost 700 when he plays. And in the 17 games that he doesn't play, they are 5-12, which is less than 300. And there's been so many stats about this because he's just had such an impact on that team. When he plays, they're both a good offense and a good defense. When he doesn't play, they are a bad offense and a bad defense.
Yeah.
He has such an impact on that team. Like, more so than I think people imagine, because obviously they've got a nice big three. But CP3 is the Clippers. Like, Chris Paul could be shortened for Clippers. Clippers 3, and he's the big three. But, like, I think they're going to be okay because Austin Rivers has stepped up pretty well.
He has done well this season.
DeAndre is posting pretty much 20-20 games, like, consistently. Jamal Crawford's been all right. Mo Spates has been okay as well. It's just that they're going to struggle. I think Blake Griffin's going to be coming back soon, I think on one of their road trips. So that's certainly going to ease the load on those players. And, I mean, it makes other players have to step up.
Mm. They're still quite a way off OKC and the Grizzlies with four games ahead of them.
But still, it's four games is pretty easy.
Just the Jazz. The Jazz are right on their heels, and the Jazz are balling recently.
Yep.
I think they got their fourth,
Joe Thringles,
fourth
mate.
Straight win or fourth straight home win today. Their defense is immaculate, and anyway.
And speaking of injuries, we've said this year that in general, the big injuries have stayed away from the star players, which has been really great because, like, I mean, I've got to see the stars play. But unfortunately, Rudy Gay of the Sacramento Kings suffered a left torn Achilles earlier in the week, and it's just sad. Like, it's sad to see because he's been playing some good basketball. Yes, he's not a superstar, but he's also in a contract year.
He's still a very, very important piece in that Kings outfit.
Absolutely, and he's an important piece in general. It's just going to be... He said, like, he posted a screenshot of the notes that he wrote. And I'm hoping that, you know, he still can come back and make an impact on whatever team that he comes to, because he's certainly a very worthy piece wherever he goes. There's that small forward who can just kill it offensively. We wish him well in his recovery, and we hope that he comes back bigger and better. But speaking of bad news, Nick, what do you think we're going to be talking about now? What's the bad news story of 2017 in the NBA?
Could be none other than the New York Knicks.
Nick Nothing. The Nick Nothings, we should call them.
Who have been
and you could be their mascot.
Absolutely trash.
Trash.
The past month. And it's not even just... It's not on the court stuff.
It's just everything.
It's everything.
D. Rose, Melo, Phil Jackson,
this whole,
Courtney
yeah,
Lee.
The whole Melo, Phil Jackson debacle fiasco going
on. Is Melo going?
Right now,
What's Phil doing? Is he even running this team anymore?
It's quite alarming what's happening in New York. We've got some tweets here, Jack. You put these on the doc. I think I'm a bit out of context here, so do you want to...
Yeah, I'll read them out. So Frank Isola from the New York Post, he's the number one NBA Knicks journalist there in New York. And this was earlier in the week when Melo and Phil Jackson and everyone was... The whole Melo trade rumor was happening. There was a rumor going around that Phil Jackson has this reporter called Chris Rosen, I believe his name is. And he sort of speaks for Phil Jackson through his journalistic outlets. So it's sort of like how, you know, this behind-the-back Chinese whispers bullshit. So Frank Isola tweeted, and these are all direct via Melo, and you can see on his Twitter page, Frank Isola. Carmelo, if they feel like my time in New York is over, I guess that's a conversation we should have. Carmelo seemed to suggest that what Phil Jackson friend, Charlie Rosen, wrote about him may be Phil's thoughts as well. Carmelo also confirmed that he was not considering waiving his no-trade clause, which is the whole deal when it comes to Melo. That is the big news. And let's just say that Carmelo isn't too thrilled with what Phil Jackson's media friend wrote about him, which is Charlie Rosen. Tim Bontemps, another really big journalist on Twitter, highly recommend that you follow him. He's a very good journalist. It seems more and more likely that by the start of next season, so 2018-2019 season, either Phil Jackson or Carmelo Anthony will not be part of the Knicks. That is a very reputable opinion here, Nick. I'm not sure if you follow these guys on Twitter, but Tim Bontemps and Frank Isola, they know their shit when it comes to New York. Do you think that Melo could be waived? Not waived, sorry. Could be traded? Or do you think it's more likely that Phil Jackson is not going to be at the New York Knicks in that general manager position?
You can't let a player become bigger than the organization. And Phil Jackson, unfortunately, is the organization. He's the general manager.
Yeah, but James Dolan is the owner. And James Dolan, at the end of the day, has the say.
Has the final say. Yeah, okay. If you're treating the GM as a... As like a voice. The same sort of piece
yep.
as the player.
Yep.
But I personally would rate a general manager... You've appointed this general manager for a reason. He's rated higher than the player.
But Phil... But Melo has always won the battles in New York. Like, there's been talks about trading him last year when he was going to go to the Chicago Bulls. But he keeps saying because of that no-wave trade clause. And at the same time, I was reading this on Twitter as well, that if the Knicks do trade him, he gets some sort of a buyout. Like, he gets, like, $15 million extra or something if he's traded because of that no-trade clause. I don't see Melo leaving because Melo is New York. He epitomized what New York basketball is. But if, like DeMarcus Cousins, if Melo wants to win anything, he's got to get out of there and realize that as much as he would like to think he's helping the organization, he's hindering it. And he needs to let Porzingis take this thing, run with it, let Jeff Hornacek do his thing, and like run the organization. Because Melo isn't the same Melo 5 years ago, 2011 Melo. He is 2016, 2017 Melo that... can't block a TJ McConnell shot, that can't play much defense, that can only do ISO ball, that doesn't fit into Jeff Hornacek's system. And at the end of the day, I like, as much as you say the players do run the things, I don't think a player is bigger than the coach. Ty Lue had that say when it came to LeBron James when David Blatt left. Like, he got him under control and sort of put him in line. I don't think anyone has ever had the chance to actually put Melo in line. And I don't like the way the Knicks... the friction is right now. I mean, the fact that we can say that my team, the Brooklyn Nets, is no longer the laughing stock of New York is saying something.
Yeah, that is.
And we have won less than 10 games this season.
Yeah, that's quite alarming. But I think in terms of like a PR standpoint, the owner has only one choice. Like, you have to... If you're going to get rid of one, you've got to get rid of Phil Jackson. As much as I don't like a player winning in this sort of situation...
Yes.
Phil Jackson is a prick of a human.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with seeing him taken, you know, taken down.
Yep.
I think... The whole thing started with his comments to LeBron and his business associates. It's extended out to, you know, disharmony with Melo and Rose.
You need that communication to be on point with your star player and your general manager and your coach. That's what has... And I read this James Harden article by Howard Beck this week. That's what has changed James Harden's game, because he has this open relationship with Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey that just fits. It doesn't fit in New York.
Mm.
And if anything, the way the Nets are being run now with Sean Marks at the helm, Kenny Atkinson, yes, we are the laughingstock of the NBA in terms of our winning percentage, but we have a direction. Do we know where the Knicks are going? Where are the Knicks going to be in 5 years' time?
Yeah, I mean...
It's Porzingis. Yes,
it's Porzingis.
But who else? We have Joakim Noah, who is on a four-year, $72 million contract. Absolutely ridiculous. He got 0 points and 16 rebounds today. The most, I think, ever in quite a while, 30 years or so, to actually get 0 points with 10 rebounds or more. They've got Derrick Rose, who's flailing and wants a $30 million contract, a max contract. They've got Courtney Lee posting Dumb and Dumber Instagram pictures. And they look better when they've got all these European guys out there. Kylo Quinn. Well, maybe not Kylo Quinn. But they look better when there's harmony there. And Derrick Rose has been playing, albeit playing some decent basketball lately. Obviously, because it's a contract year for him.
But it's not a matter of playing decent basketball. They're still not getting wins on the board.
No.
Because they're unhappy. And a team needs to be happy when they play together. You need to have that.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what the Wizards lacked at the start of the year. Going back to the Wizards, sorry. the Wizards lacked that at the start of the year. They lacked character.
Like cohesion.
We've pulled together. We've started to come good now. But it's not just about the individual players. It's about how they gel. And that's just
And I think the thing that's changed with the Wizards, to put it simply, has been that they've been winning games.
Yeah.
They've been winning close games. They've been winning on their home court. And that completely, like you're saying, affects morale. I mean, we're winning at podcasts, so that's why we're always happy.
We're ecstatic.
All we do is win, no matter what. On that very white note, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with discussion points of the week. Hashtag DP of the week.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Kick off here with some discussion points. The All-Star game, mate.
You're an All-Star. Get your game on. Go play.
The All-Star starters have been announced. They've been announced, and I don't have them up on top of me, but I should know them off the top of my head.
So let's go with the East. The East, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and DeMar DeRozan's in there, but, you know, not
DeMar DeRozan.
I know, yes, Kyle Lowry should be there, Isaiah, but let's just tell the people. And then in the West, we've got Steph, we've got James Harden, KD, Kawhi, and who's at center?
Who is the center?
KD, Kawhi. Who's the small forward that, like, who's very popular that we don't know? It's not Boogie. All right. You look this up, Nick, while I tell people my All-Star reserves. We should know this, people. We are sorry. So for the All-Star surprises, the biggest snub was obviously Russell Westbrook, Isaiah Thomas, and Kyle Lowry. So we're going to talk a bit about our All-Star reserves. The All-Star reserves, we get 7 players to pick from the East and the West. And Nick and I did have some overlaps, but we'll discuss a little bit about our ones that we didn't agree on. So we'll have a little bit of a debate because, you know, Nick and I generally just don't agree on things. So for the Eastern All-Stars, the 7 backups that I've got are Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors, Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, All-Star, which I'm sure Nick will be happy about, PG-13, The Process. Trust it. You need to trust the process, Nick. The Brow is the All-Star center in the West.
Yes. So how could we forget about Anthony Davis?
The Brow. I mean, New Orleans, we forgot about him a little bit. And it's in New Orleans
as
well.
I
had Embiid, my 6th reserve, Kemba Walker, and Paul Millsap. Those sort of last couple were ones that we didn't really agree on, Nicky boy.
Yeah, so we agreed on the East. Definitely Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, Lowry, Embiid, and Kemba. We agreed there. Any other sort of outsiders there? Because I struggled to get 7 for the East.
You had 6 pretty easily. But that 7th one, I sort of had to, like, you know, the one name that we didn't have in there that would probably... Well, there's a couple. You could have Miles Turner of the Indiana Pacers. You could have Kristaps Porzingis, even though he's missed a few games. And you could probably have Andre Drummond, because Detroit are doing okay, but his defense has been very shoddy.
Is people like
Hassan Whiteside, but Miami have been trash. But yeah, those are all picks that you could argue for. I mean, you know, you could probably change my mind if you gave me some stats. But Nick, who did you have? So I had Paul George and Millsap. You had 2 other players. Who were your 2 other reserves that differed to mine?
Well, I generally picked mine on, obviously, their progression this year and how they've improved from last year. Paul George and Paul Millsap are both having worse years than they were last year. Maybe not Paul George, because I think he was still injured for the start of it. That's why I stayed away from Paul George.
But in terms of valuing the next seven best players in the East, Paul Millsap and Paul, you don't have an Atlanta Hawks player in here, which I found very surprising. Like, none.
They're an extremely good side.
But you could say the same thing about the Celtics without Isaiah Thomas. You had Al Horford.
It's a good system they've got there. Al Horford's PER.
Why do you have him?
PER.
He's PER. What's PER, Nick? Tell the people PER.
Player efficiency rating.
Okay.
He's been... His player efficiency rating is 20.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty good. He's shooting a lot better. His points are a little bit down, I believe. I don't have the stat on me. But
that's because Isaiah's taken a lot of shots.
And that is. And he was injured for a little bit.
Yeah.
He still played 32 games, so he still played most of them. I just think he works as kind of cop-out as that sounds.
Yeah.
But I was more sold on my next pick, which was Kevin Love. And you had him omitted.
I didn't... In terms of, yeah, you made the good point of the fact that he's playing the best basketball since his Minnesota days. I agree. But at the same time, LeBron and Kyrie were the guys in that team. If we're talking about small forward, power forward, center, he's a power forward center. I'd say Millsap's playing better basketball than him, personally. This is just my opinion. He plays better defense. He can shoot. He has a better skill set than Kevin Love does. Kevin Love's made better by LeBron. I mean, every player's made better by LeBron. But say, if Kevin Love was running a team, he'd probably be an all-star every year if he was in the East. I mean, he struggled when he was in the West at the Timberwolves because the West is just so stacked. But I'm not going to argue with you for once. I'm going to agree with the fact that, yeah, I probably could have had Al Horford or Kevin Love in there because, you know, they're the top two teams in the East. But... I wanted to give Atlanta some love, give the ATL town some love, and, you know, I value what PG-13 is doing there in Indiana.
I agree with you there.
I mean, and we love Paul George because he's a personality. He's a,
yeah,
a genuine superstar.
He's an all-star. Like, he's an all-star in that
when we're talking about
a person. Yeah, he's just a personality there.
Yeah.
I agree with you there in the fact that Atlanta needed some love, and... Paul Millsap is the general...
Why do we keep agreeing with each other?
This is strange.
Let's shake hands.
But I don't... Don't
okay, we're not going that far.
Don't touch me.
We're not going to physically engage.
But his PER's been down, Paul Millsap. His shooting's been down this year. And that's just... I mean, his points are up, but his efficiency's down, and I value efficiency.
Yeah, but we're not basing it off last year compared to this year, Nick. It's all
yeah,
stars
I know.
For this
I know,
year.
I know. But I don't know. I really value improvement in players.
All right. Fair enough.
And yeah, and the fact that he has LeBron on his team, yeah. Kevin Love, inflates his status.
Definitely.
And I kind of disagree with you in that if you put Kevin Love in the same position as Paul Millsap, I don't think he would flourish as much as Paul Millsap is flourishing, which makes Paul Millsap a better player.
So you're saying that Paul Millsap deserves to be an all-star?
No, because Kevin Love is still having the better year.
Okay, fair
because
enough.
Because he's playing with these
Yeah,
superstars.
With the Cavs, yeah. So just recapping, in the East... I have Kyle Lowry, Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, Paul George, Joel Embiid, and the two, and Kemba Walker, and Paul Millsap. Nick, who you got before we move on to the West?
So I've got Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, Kyle Lowry, Joel Embiid, and Kemba Walker. No arguments there between the two of us. And then I've added in Al Horford and Kevin Love in there as well.
Now, this is the biggest travesty, and this destroyed Twitter the day it came out with Russell Westbrook not starting. And, I mean, the starters made a very good point, and I think it needs to be taken into context. The fact that when you look back at an NBA player's career, they don't go, oh, how many All-Star starting did he get? It's just, how many times was he an All-Star? Russell Westbrook, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be an All-Star. A-Rod, I know you love your OKC and you don't know much else about basketball. Don't worry, your boy Russ is going to get on the All-Star ballot. He's going to get on the All-Star team. So, in saying that, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Rudy Gobert, DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie, Gordon Hayward, just for that slick hair. He's going to have some mad hairstyles during the All-Star weekend.
With that awesome kit.
Oh, man. And Marc Gasol and Draymond Green. They are my seven reserves for the Western All-Star lineup. Nick, who you got?
I like the pick of Marc Gasol. I've loved Marc Gasol this year. I had a lot of doubts about the Grizzlies and him and Mike Conley. More so him have been proving me wrong.
Absolutely.
And I love it. I love being proved wrong.
And you didn't have them in
and
your team.
I didn't have Marc Gasol in my team because I feel the other two needed some love where they are.
Who are your other two?
So I who did you have that I didn't?
So
I didn't have Gordon Hayward. And I didn't have Marc Gasol.
Yep.
So that means I did agree with Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Rudy Gobert, DeMarcus Cousins, and Draymond Green.
Yep, and those are all probably most people's, apart from maybe Rudy Gobert. Like, you can debate those centers till the cows come home. DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, no, it's Rudy Gobert for me.
For I think...
That's not even an argument.
And that 25-25 game the other day was just phenomenal. The first 25-25 game of the season. And
yeah.
Hint, hint, Knicks picks. But Nick, who are your two that were different to mine?
I've added in CJ McCollum for the Blazers.
In DBS, didn't we have CJ McCollum, and didn't you drop this guy? You're nodding right now, and have to eat your words. Or, you know what? Harking back to earlier podcasts, start eating my face. We've got a visual podcast right now. Start eating it, mate.
I will eat your face shortly. CJ McCollum's impressed me recently.
But the Portland Trailblazers have been trash.
It was essentially after that Knicks picks, when you talked up CJ McCollum so highly, I added him on Snapchat, and that
CJ in New Orleans doing some mad Snapchats.
I just love him in terms of like an actual person, but he's a great player as well, great shooter. Because it was getting compared to my boy Bradley Beal, and he was beating him in every stat. So yeah.
And that's without Damian
and then Miller. I started watching him more, paying closer attention. I really like what he's doing. He had a 39-point game recently.
Yep.
It's just.
It's an outside.
There's no leadership in that Portland team. I mean, there's only so much that this backcourt can do without the force of a decent. Like, it's you need a big three, and they don't have that three. They don't have that third person.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
and you know they've got Evan Turner.
It's true. Who is trash? You're better off having a rubbish can out there, whatever you want to call them.
Trash can. But then Boogie would go
and he'd throw them around the court. Nick, I completely disagree because Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward are balling with... I mean, not Gobert. Gordon Hayward is absolutely balling with the Jazz. He's been efficient as hell. And I mean, if we're talking about guys we want to see at the All-Star game, that haircut, Nick. I mean, imagine he's going to like bring his personal barber there or something. Gordon Hayward...
He's gonna get cut fresh cuts on the side of the court.
And one thing we're both disappointed about is that Joe Ingles. We both probably should have had him.
Yes, we were trying to campaign for him, and Australia has let us down.
Australia, you've let us down in many ways before, but this is the biggest letdown in Australian history. Hashtag letdown.
I disagree to the fact in Gordon Hayward... For reasons that kind of contradict my own players.
Yeah, exactly. He is the star on that team. Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward are probably like the two stars. Rudy Gobert makes that team better, but Gordon Hayward is the like offensive juggernaut.
But I don't
that helps them score.
I don't feel, and I'd have to look at his plus or minus to be proved wrong here. But just from what I've seen of the Jazz, he doesn't seem to make them better. Like, he's an amazing shooter. He can get points on the board. But in terms of bringing a team together, I don't see it from this guy. That being said, I have CJ McCollum, who doesn't do that either.
Yeah, Gordon...
So it kind of contradicts... That's my reasoning.
Gordon Hayward is one of the only players that make... They are a very cohesive team unit. Is that what you're trying to say? That because they're so deep and talented in a way that is similar to the Memphis Grizzlies, that no one stands out? Is that a better way of saying it?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, because Gordon Hayward...
Maybe that might be it.
Because Gordon Hayward makes them infinitely better, Nick.
But not to the same extent as Rudy Gobert does. It's not...
Rudy Gobert makes any team infinitely better just because he is the best rim protector I've seen since I've followed basketball. And his offensive game has skyrocketed since last year. But Gordon Hayward's three-point shot, Gordon Hayward off the dribble, Gordon Hayward's ability to create... Gordon Hayward's ability to maintain, to stay relevant in the conversation of your Kevin Durant's, Kawhi Leonard's. Like, people were saying, like, is Gordon Hayward going to be a starter? And you don't even have him as a reserve, which is something I'm surprised about, mate. But I'll back you on CJ. I'm Team CJ as well. You know, get that Snapchat game in there.
His PER, Hayward's PER is 22 at the moment, which is really, really good.
That proves his efficiency, mate.
But CJ's shooting efficiency is better.
Yeah, but we're not talking about shooting. Yeah, all right.
I don't know. I'm just not 100% sold on Gordon Hayward, and it's really hard for me to explain this. Because, like, in terms of stats, they're very, very similar players.
You just have a very invalid opinion, as usual.
Just from what I've seen and watching him play, I don't know. CJ seems more dynamic.
All right. Well, you're wrong. Explain LaMarcus. I like this pick.
I just need to give some love to
the Spurs?
Spurs.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree.
They are second in the West right now, which is no easy
feat. They beat the Cavs today in an amazing game.
In OT, yeah. They are currently 33-9, which is...
Under the radar.
I think it might be... Yeah, the quietest 33-9 in NBA history.
Yeah, and I think that happens every year with the Spurs.
With the Spurs,
because it's just under the radar when it comes to Golden State.
Yeah,
because
Warriors are 37-6, which is better, which is just crazy.
Slightly,
but yeah, 33-9 is an insane record. They're just doing everything the Spurs do every year.
Yeah,
like this is not a surprise for the Spurs.
No,
which is why maybe it might be flying under the radar as well. But yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge's numbers have been really good. He's improved his three-point shot drastically this year.
I think he's had
I don't know whether it's because he hasn't taken many and the numbers are skewed there.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's shooting 50% from three.
Yeah, you're probably 50% one of two, maybe.
Yeah, so what? Maybe. I'd have to look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Considering he's a career 27%.
He's quite an
shooter.
Efficient.
He's still an efficient scorer.
Yeah, he's...
Like, he's had games where he's been close to 90... Or 80% where he's shot like 6 from 7.
Yeah, and he's a shooter as well, which is saying something. Like, he's not a Gobert who just, like, you know, gets those dinkers and dumpers.
Amazing in the post nonetheless.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great post player. He's like a Dirk, old school Dirk.
Mm. But yeah, I needed to show love to the Spurs.
And that's something I appreciate.
Oh, sorry, they've got Kawhi in there, sorry.
Well, yeah.
But it's just not enough.
Yeah, I know. Well, like, let's get Patty Thrills.
We've got three players from the Golden State Warriors.
Well, they deserve it.
Yeah, and so does LaMarcus.
I mean, people wanted Zaza in there. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God there is no Zaza. It's not Zaza land.
Well, actually, that's I want to come on to quickly. We've gone through our East and West picks. There was an interesting post by Adrian Wojnarowski about how the NBA have ruined the All-Star game for the fans. And I agreed with it. It was a very...
Completely agreed with it?
It's a very compelling video. Like, it raises some very, very nice points in that this is all the fans have. They want to feel engaged and want to feel like they have some sort of say. My problem is that the amount of stock professionals put into All-Star games, it can't be decided by the fans.
No.
If it was decided by the fans and Zaza goes down as a 7-time All-Star, that is a
travesty.
That is Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah. No. Well,
which is completely retarded.
And at the same time as well, people's contracts have stipulations in it that if you're an All-Star, you get that bonus money.
Yeah, you get paid.
So
people put a lot of stock into All-Star game and it pisses me off because it's a popularity contest. It's even a popularity contest with the media and the players, which is the media is supposed to be that objective vote.
But
your media coverage, your media people in New York are going to be voting for your New York people.
Yeah,
Players aren't going to be voting for Draymond Green. He came ninth in the player
standings, that was surprising.
Which is ridiculously low because no one likes him. Well, one likes Chris Paul.
Because they're
pricks on the court.
A couple of people voted for Ben Simmons and he hasn't even played a game yet.
Exactly. Like, it's a joke. Oh, it's a joke. Which is why if we removed stock from the All-Star games, give it to the fans. I don't care. What the fans want to see, I am completely fine with that.
So you would have been happy if Zaza started.
It's the fact, yes. If it wasn't counted as an award. Because the All-Star game is counted as an award, it shouldn't be counted as an award. It's a popularity contest and it's annoying that people say, "Oh yeah, he was a 9-time." Some people it's all right. Like LeBron, this is his 14th or 13th
12th in a row. I think it's 13th.
13th All-Star appearance, completely deserving.
But then Kobe last year wasn't deserving.
No, Kobe last year wasn't deserving.
And LeBron's going to get voted in every year till he retires. So is Steph. And so is Zaza at this rate.
It's...
People of Georgia, like, watch some basketball, please.
Like, people who are saying that the All-Star game is about the fans, I agree with them. If the All-Star game didn't have so much stock in terms of awards.
Or if you could just, like... Or if you gave, say, the fans a ballot. And, like, you know, you can vote for these players. So, like, then it disputes voting for players like a Zaza Pachulia, like a Kobe who doesn't deserve it. And then, like, say, the media pick who deserves to be in the meeting, the coaches and the players go, okay, here's your list of players. Vote for them. And
but then, there's still no reason for them to be objective.
Yeah,
it's a completely subjective vote, which is still going to skew it.
Oh, well, no doubt. But, like, it removes the fact that we're always going to have Zaza Pachulia getting a million votes. But we've spoken enough about, and we'll be speaking more about
we could do a whole podcast on ways to fix the All-Star voting.
And we'll be getting back to the All-Star, because the All-Star break is coming up soon, and the reserves will be announced in the coming weeks. But getting to some a little bit of trade news. This news was eventually disputed and refuted by Stan Van Gundy yesterday, or this morning even. But earlier in the week, the Vertical, Adrian Wojnarowski's actual organization at Yahoo Sports, Ricky Rubio was being actively shopped by the Timberwolves. And Mark Stein got on Twitter, story going online now with Chris Haynes of ESPN sources saying that Minnesota and Detroit have discussed a point guard swap of Ricky Rubio and Reggie Jackson. I liked it, but the next day Stan Van Gundy came out and said, no, this ain't happening. But I think Stan Van needs to have a little bit of a look and see what's going on with the, because I think Ricky could work well in that system.
I think the trade to the Pistons would be more beneficial than the trade to the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I don't think... That being said, would Reggie Jackson be happy to be a second guard in, like, 2 years' time?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Players' egos have something to... Yeah, it's
And
it's
Ricky
hard.
Rubio would be, and he's still, like... He would still be a force off the bench. Maybe not in 2 years, he'd get in a... He'd be well in his 30s by then.
Ricky
he?
Rubio. Yeah, he's only 26 right now.
Is he? Oh, fuck. He's younger than
just,
I thought.
Yeah, he's just been in the...
Well, he'll be pushing 30. He'll be a good rotation player behind Chris Dunn, so if they kept him. Reggie Jackson, I don't think would be that same sort of... Have that same sort of role. Having Reggie Jackson at the Minnesota Timberwolves would hinder the performance of the... Nourishment? That's not the word.
The development.
Development, that's the one.
Nourishment.
I was thinking it was like a flower sprouting.
Basketball players aren't flowers, Nicholas.
They don't go...
Though we do have an awesome flower shirt from Craig Sager.
They don't go in dirt.
You go in dirt. You're a dirty man.
I think that was my phone.
Boom, bam.
Anyway. What was I saying? Yeah, it would hinder Chris Dunn's development and... He is part of that future with Wiggy and Cat
and Levine. But This is via CBS Sports, and I read this, and I'm not sure if you read the link, Nick, but there are a few teams that they said would be a good fit for Ricky Rubio and Shabazz Muhammad, because earlier in the week before this, before Chris ESPN reported the point guard swap, CBS Sports went into the different teams that could fit for Ricky Rubio. Orlando Magic... New Orleans Pelicans, Dallas Mavericks, the Knicks, they're always looking for someone, Atlanta Hawks, the Bulls, but, you know, if Rondo leaves, who knows, maybe Ricky Rubio might start with him, and I mean, they don't really need another guard, but out of those teams, I like him on the New Orleans Pelicans, adding him with Anthony Davis, I think that could be a nice fit.
Yeah.
Dallas as well.
Shabazz can shoot.
Shabazz can shoot.
Shabazz can shoot. adding his kind of, I don't know, dynamicness to that, would you say Pelicans?
Yep.
Pelicans outfit. It'd work.
I like, and CBS Sports, and I'm literally quoting them here, Rubio's 2 years older than Harrison Barnes. And they don't have a point guard of the future. Their point guards right now, JJ Barea and Deron Williams. Those guys aren't going to last, and they need someone to fill that gap. Ricky Rubio, while like you think, and a lot of other people think, he's old. He's my age. He's 26 years old.
He just looks old.
He does.
He's got that European old man look.
He looks pretty sharp, Ricky Rubio. But yeah, I like him at the Dallas Mavericks as well, and we know Mark Cuban loves to make some moves. But yeah, and Orlando Magic, I think, I don't know...
Would you move him to a team where he can start? Because currently he's coming off the bench.
Is he not
for the Wolves?
Yeah, but it depends on what teams are willing to pay for him. I think Ricky Rubio is a valuable piece in the NBA, it's just that I think it was Lee Ellis on the starter saying the fact that he hasn't developed a jump shot. His offensive game just hasn't developed. But his assets as a passer and a defender are almost unparalleled in the league. Yeah. Like, there aren't many as good passers and creators on the court at that point guard position. And apart from probably Chris Paul, I would say he's probably one of the best defenders in the league with your John Walls as well.
I mean, he would need to go into a system like what Milwaukee have, where you've got Dally at your point guard,
yeah.
Who is a...
he's not, a better shooter than Ricky.
He's a much better shooter.
You know where he would be actually
but
really
good? But
in terms
of, like, he's not... It's not an impact role.
Yeah. You know where he would actually be really good, but everyone would lose their minds? He would actually be really good at Cleveland coming off the bench.
Backup point guard.
He would be amazing.
Good D,
and
yeah.
LeBron is like, we need another playmaker. There aren't as many good playmakers in the league as Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
For what you can get. And I just don't think Cleveland have the assets to do that deal. But for all the Cleveland bandwagoners out there, probably including me, I guess, he'd be a great piece. Albeit, like, if they're trying to create, like, a shooting barrage, he doesn't really have that shot.
But he can set him up.
He doesn't really need
like,
to.
People like Kyle Korver can play a lot of minutes because he doesn't do a lot of running.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bit old, but he can play with that. Kyle Korver would be playing with that second outfit when J.R. Smith comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
And just him and Ricky Rubio could work really well together. Just finding the free man and putting up the shot.
Absolutely. And I mean, we'll move on and, you know, watch this space for Team Ricky, Tricky Ricky. But, Nick, is the NBA season too long? There was a piece by ESPN that I showed you today that you didn't read because you don't care about this podcast or the peasants.
I couldn't access it.
Was
that region unlocking thing.
Okay. Yeah. But the piece was very good. It was just arguing the fact that come January 20, come that All-Star break, come that midpoint where it's been about 40, 41 games, 42 games, which is halfway through the season, that the standings don't change. The team, generally, whether it's the positions or whether it's teams coming up, it very rarely does, albeit whether there be injuries or, you know, there's always an outlier to those sort of stats. But in sort of, they were saying in within 20 years, generally your top team makes the finals, albeit apart from, I think it was the Phoenix Suns in 07, San Antonio Spurs 2010, and I think maybe the Miami Heat or Cleveland Cavaliers. But is the NBA season too long, Nicholas? Nick Nothing. Do you think that needs to be less games, less back-to-backs? I mean, we could talk about this in relation to Celius's comment last week. Is it too long? Do we get bored of basketball? Is 82 games too many?
In terms of entertainment value, which I think maybe this ESPN article was hinting at, no. It's not too long. I don't think it's long enough.
I want
year-round basketball. Like, I'm sorry, it is. I mean, I would love it if the Wizards played every day.
But you got to think about that.
But it's not about that. It's about the players.
Exactly.
And you would think that if you even reduce the amount of games by 12, make it a 70 game
season,
the quality of basketball would improve drastically. I'm coming up with some doozy
some
words
absolute zingers. But I agree, yeah, 70 game season I think would be almost perfect. You get rid of those back-to-backs, especially when you're traveling.
It's rough. A back-to-back away fixture, you play that night, you leave at
2 a.m.
what? Yeah, 2 a.m. you arrive in the next city. Let's be generous and say it's only an hour away.
Yeah.
Because America's a huge country.
It's a damn large one.
Yeah. So it's only an hour away. Same time zone for the sake of argument. 3 a.m. you get there. So you're going to bed at 3 a.m. before a game.
Every player in the NBA has a solid nap game. I was watching an interview with Russell Westbrook and he says before a game, like, he's got his routine. And he's like, you know, you've got to take a little bit of a nap. And obviously that makes sense because these players are traveling nonstop. And there was an article again on ESPN talking about about travel fatigue and, you know, changing time zones and stuff. But these ballers are used to it. They've done it since they were in college.
It doesn't mean it's good for the body.
It is not good for the body. And I think, like you said, we would see a much improved product. I think that there would be less DNP CDs. So you would get to see your star players night in, night out, every game. As a fan, that's going to increase the fact that, like, you know, you go to a game and you expect to see Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James. But it's like, no, LeBron James is resting this game because And, just you know, fatigue, you pay your $100, $50 American, whatever you want to do for a ticket. You want to see the best players out there. You don't want to see, like, Pop has done it to a T. He started the whole trend in the NBA of resting players. And I believe in it. If you have earned that right, like in the AFL and any sport, if you get the chance to rest your players and keep them fresh for the finals, bloody oath, do it. It's a winning business.
That's exactly right. I mean, and these are the sorts of games. I mean, it happens in football as well, AFL and soccer. Players rest. You know, they take a week off.
Yeah.
And that's only one game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's adequate rest.
And I don't think
if these guys resting one game, that's only what, 3 days, 4 days rest.
Exactly. And basketball,
it's an intensive sport.
I know. And
it's
like
hard on the knees.
Yeah.
Man.
Like
hard
if on the knees. we play our ball plenty. And for those that think, you know, non-contact sport and stuff, it's not as strenuous as, say, like, you know, a rugby and an AFL and Aussie rules or an NFL, but, you know, you're running miles a game.
If you take out slide tackles in soccer, it is as much contact.
Oh, yeah.
And people who play soccer know this. It's like, there's a lot of, it's innocuous contact. There's a lot of pushing, a lot of shoving.
And basketball.
When you get
to the rack and stuff and, you know, taking those charges, the human body can only take so much. I mean, these guys are physical specimens unlike any other. But, I mean, yeah, if we're worrying about the well-being of our players, I think, yeah, the NBA season is too long. And, I mean, we're not going to fix it. But definitely the Adam Silver and his team need to take a look at it. But I digress, Nicholas, and we're going on to our game of the week, and it's my game of the week this week. It's mine.
You did pick it.
All right.
And you can tell by who's playing.
Yeah, game of the week and honorable mention. Can we do an honorable mention for game of the week?
Sure, why not?
Spurs, it's
our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Spurs and Cavs today played an absolute zinger. That might be the name of this podcast, Zinger. Played an absolute cracker of a game today. They were going to OT with Kawhi Leonard, had a career-high 41 points to lead his team to a win over the Cavs. I think it was at Cleveland. 118-115. But game of the week, ladies and gentlemen, the Nets have won 9 games, and they have done so in emphatic fashion against the New Orleans Pelicans. They won 143. Yes, do not change your dials. We scored 143 points, ladies and gentlemen. Dials? We're not on radio, are we? I don't know. Does dials make a... Is dial?
Yeah, do not... It used to be like, because when you're on TV or radio, do not change your dial because it was a dial changing.
But people have
frequency.
Auxiliary cables, maybe?
That's not a dial, Jack.
Oh, whatever. I don't know what a dial is.
It's a knob.
Dial...
Like you.
Ah, I was going to say you're
a knob.
But yeah, we won the game by 29 points, Nick. I was so happy.
It's not even amazing. Like, the 29 points is meh. The 143 points is amazing.
That's like, and the Nets don't, who do you think would have scored all those points?
Rondé Hollis-Jefferson.
Damn straight he did. for the record, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, Nick, scored 12 points.
That's not bad.
7 rebounds, 2 assists, and chucking a block there. 4 of 6 from the field. And the one stat that stood out to me was Caris LeVert, our rookie. He balled. He was 6 of 6 from the field, and he just like absolutely killed it. And I think he had like an historic night for a rookie. Like it was the first he had a 15-5-5 game for a rookie. Didn't miss a shot. And I think that's the first time since Charles Barkley. I think they were saying, or don't quote me in saying this, but I got it from Twitter. But my Nets are in the game of the week, Nick. I mean, I'm sure you probably if you picked it, you probably would have had your Wizards against the Knicks, but. You know,
that was a good win.
It was a solid win. But you know, the Brooklyn.
I couldn't go past 143 points for the and Jack to have his little moment.
Yeah, it's about time. I mean, we've won 9 games. I mean, I should probably be doing a whole podcast about every game we win. But that's our game of the week, ladies and gents. After the break, we got Nick's picks that were done by the J Man. You're listening to JVT Podcast. Give us a rating and review on iTunes.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Kick off right here with Nick's... Let's just call him JBT. Let's come up with a new name with it, right?
Well, okay.
JBT Fantasy or Fantasy JBT?
JBT...
how about...
JBT's Ballers of the Week or something, I don't know.
Ballers of the Week? Yeah, it's not bad. Or how about the Fantasy JB Team?
The Fantasy... Ooh, not bad. All right.
JB Team.
This week's JB Team of the Week.
Yeah.
JB Team of the Week.
I like it.
High five.
Yes, we did.
Bang,
this.
We got it.
That was not rehearsed.
That was not rehearsed at all.
Completely off the cuff. I love
Damn,
it.
We fucking rule.
Killed that.
Fuck yeah. Our JB team of the week, Nick.
All right.
Let's split up the positions then. All right, you do your backcourt, I'll do my frontcourt. Like we did back in the day. All right,
back in the day. With no honourable mentions. We're keeping that.
We're keeping that.
All right.
Stuff the honourable mentions. No one is honourable if you don't make the JB team of the week.
For those who are new to the podcast, which would be everyone because they've never heard of the JB team of the week. JB team of the week is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week, just gone, and throw in some honourable mentions. I need to update this script because we
it
don't...
It is not on... There are no honourable mentions.
We
I repeat.
We don't throw in some... Well, I'm going to have to do this after the podcast. Okay, I've complete. Let me start again. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week just gone. And it is tough because the week is long, but we do try to pick only one position...
Player per
week.
Position.
Player per position.
On position every
week. I really need to work on this script. Jack, do you want to just... I'm done.
All right.
Put me in the bin, fam. I am done.
All right. You are as trash as Evan Turner. At the point guard position, we have Derrick Rose, the man who's been roasted more than Donald Trump in the past week. Yeah, I don't know who's had a worse week, Derrick Rose or Donald Trump. Donald Trump's president, so I guess he's going all right. But Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose had an impressive performance against the Celtics, putting up 30 points, 10 rebounds, so a nice double-double for him. And then chucking 5 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks as well for Derrick. He really wants that max contract, and he's earning it with performances like that. Nick, you want to give us the shooting guard of the week?
I do. Just let me get it up. No. The shooting guard of the week this week...
Yes, Nick, I put him...
Well, I'm guilty here because it's the first time I've actually read the JB team of the week.
Well, this is the first time where, like, the first time you're not actually doing it, maybe.
And James Harden at shooting guard in the win over the Bucks at 38 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and even playing a little defense with 2 blocks in there as well. Mate, James Harden's not a shooting guard.
There aren't many good shooting guard performances this week.
So CJ McCollum put up 39 this week.
Did he?
He did.
Well, then why didn't you put it down in the Google Doc, mate?
That is an excellent question. I really should have.
You need to keep up to date. I'm the one that keeps...
I keep up to date. I just don't write it down.
I might have to be the one that tells you to write it down. Why don't you always... whenever I open my laptop, I have our Google Doc open. It is like a consistent... It's a favorite.
I actually have my Google Doc open whenever I open Google Chrome.
Okay.
Well, then I have it. I have no excuse.
James Harden's our shooting guard of the week.
All right, I'll give it to you. But you gave me shtick the first time I gave him shooting guard.
Shtick. I gave him a bit of shtick.
Anyway, backcourt, mate. Small forward. Go for it.
You mean frontcourt?
Yeah.
Yep. Small forward, KD. Had an historically effective night.
Historical.
It's an, Nick.
No, that's only if... You'd say that if it was an historical.
Nah, Nick.
Nan.
Nick, all right.
We're not talking about English, mate. We'll discuss this later.
We're going to go... Okay, he had an...
You pissed me off.
...historical effective night against his former team, where he put up 40 points from only 16 or fewer field goals. He had 40 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and per Elias Sports, Kevin Durant is the first Warrior in the shot clock era since 1954-55... to score over 40 points or more on 16 or fewer field goal attempts. That is seriously ridiculous.
That is crazy.
That is making
efficiency,
like, it's so efficient that I can't think of an analogy.
Like, if all of those were two-pointers, you wouldn't even hit 40 points.
Exactly. So, like
that is crazy efficiency.
Threes and getting to the line. Oh, KD is having an historical effective year this year, Nicholas.
God, you're an annoying piece of ass.
Your mother smells. Power forward.
Power forward. We've got... Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, all Nick.
Right, all right. Karl Anthony Towns against the Clippers. KG-like to lead his team to a win. 37 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists. Five assists. I'm dyslexic today. 5 assists, 17 off 24 field goal percentage.
Put some respect on his name.
Thank you for that. Cass not a power forward, but continue.
Nick, if you
power forward center, okay, I'll give it to you.
Like, anyway. He's a... We were talking about this as we were going to Colts today. Yep. They had, like, in the modern NBA, that there are so many hybrid players.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, positions don't even mean a thing anymore.
And this is my JB team of the week. If you want to do it, then you can get it.
Get it.
At center, my boy, one of my favorite players in the NBA right now, Rudy Gobert, the French man with making Gobert could be a cheese.
Camembert is a cheese.
Yeah, so the Rudy Camembert... We've got to think of a nickname on the break. Rudy Gobert had the first 25-25 game of the season with 27 points, 25 rebounds against the Mavs. That was... he was just dominant in that game. I watched the end of it in OT, and he went to the line, and he was quite good as well. Rudy Gobert had the first 25-25 game of the season, ladies and gents, and that is our JB team of the week. Nick, recap.
All right. At the one, we've got Derrick Rose. Two, James Harden. Small forward, we've got KD, power forward Kat, and center, Rudy Camembert. Gobert, sorry. mistake.
The cheese man. We could call him the cheese man. Cheesy.
We shouldn't call him the cheese
cheesy
man.
Cheesy Gobert.
No, let's just stop. Stat of the week. We're moving on, Jack.
We got two, so can I do one?
Yes, two stats of the week. You can put your... You can do
put
the
some
one,
respect on
you can,
my name.
You can do the one that you put in here.
I will do that. So, James Harden, our shooting guard of the week for JBT team. James Harden is creating, assisting, or scoring 82 points per 48 minutes for the Houston Rockets this season via Synergy Sports. That is ridiculous.
That is... Ridiculous isn't the word, mate. That is not the word.
That's redonkulous.
I mean, I've always looked at assists like that. I mean, you get 15 assists and that's at least 30 points to your team. And this just proves it.
It's dramatic, isn't it?
It's insanely dramatic. creating, assisting, and scoring 82 points. You know, when you're putting up 15 assists and then scoring as well, it's just... And when you've got Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon shooting those threes, Trevor Ariza...
Trevor Ariza. We like our nicknames here at JBT.
Hitting those threes, that's even more points there. I mean, it's just... Yeah.
Give us a second stat, Nicky
it's
boy.
It's crazy. Now, this stat was legitimately surprising. I could not believe this when I saw this.
Yeah, and this one's been making the rounds. And my one was a bit more under the radar.
This one as well, yeah. Yep. The 76ers have the top defensive rating in the league when Embiid plays. Now, that is an insane stat by itself.
Absolutely. Joel Embiid is his GOAT.
He is the GOAT of the Philadelphia world at the moment.
He is
it's
the...
crazy.
They should nickname him like Liberty Joel.
They shouldn't.
Because Liberty Bell?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
It's not bad now.
Not bad, yeah, I get it. Okay, yeah. But without him, without Embiid on the court, they're 25th in defensive rating. That is 5th from the bottom.
Well, when you think about it, like Nerlens Noel, does he start? I think he does, actually. But whoever replaces him comes on as a Jahlil Okafor isn't great at defending that rating.
No, not defense. Amazing offensive player.
But this is overall defensive rating as
this
well.
This is overall defensive rating. It is crazy how much of an impact he has on this 76ers team already. First year.
Yep. Team Joel, trust the process, Nick.
Trust the process. That's amazing. Let's move on, Jack, to our off-topic, our random... Jack's random off-topic pick of
Nick's
the week.
Nick's random topic again. He picked it again.
Yes,
I like this one better than potatoes and
cooling. I've been getting on a little bit of a potato tangent.
We need to stop with the potatoes. This is the
It'll
best.
It'll be cauliflower next week.
This is the best potato pump. Nick, say it. I'm getting confused.
What?
Potato pump ups?
No, let's just ditch the potato.
Okay.
Ditch the potato.
can you ditch potatoes? They're such a valuable staple.
Our
off-topic
is pump up jams.
Pump up the jam.
So, songs you listen to when you're getting ready for sport. When you're balling.
I'm opening up my basketball playlist as you're speaking to the peasants.
Yeah, I mean, it's just songs that, you know, get you in the mood for... It could be any workout songs.
Sex?
If you want it, it's weird.
Sex songs, mate.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
Bit of Marvin Gaye,
yeah,
maybe.
But that doesn't get you pumped. Like, pump-up jams, like, you generally,
what about
like,
a
really
bit of, like,
fast...
What about, like, a bit of ukulele, like... Ding, 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 ding. Some people get pumped up and find
that
sexy.
Oh, yeah, it depends on what you get pumped up for. Anyway, my pump-up jams are a bit different.
Left field, to say the least.
Yes, very left field. I like really slow songs. Because pump-up jams, for me, aren't pump-up jams. They don't get you riled and excited. They get you calm, focused, more than anything. So I want songs that bring me down, You know, because if I'm pumped up, I'm erratic. And, you know, my heart's going crazy. I'm going a million miles a minute. I can't think properly. If I'm calm, collect, and my music, you know, translates that, then I'm going to play better. I'm going to play with focus and intent.
Dear Lord, Nick, you look like you're making love to the mic, man.
I'm very passionate about these off-topics.
You're so passionate.
I get right into these off-topics. This is the most research I've done all week.
Yeah, you sent me one of them. The Mulan one.
That's a bit of a left field one from my left field, so it's more...
It's right field.
So left field. It's a U-turn field. Mulan, Make a Man Out of You, the Disney song. That's actually, like, it makes me want to be a better person.
What about the Danny, the guy on You Got a Friend in Me? Randy Newman.
Friend. Yeah, but that's not a pump-up jam. But, like...
Neither is Mulan, Nicholas.
Make a Man Out of You, it's about, like, their journey up from being, like, really bad soldiers to being the best soldiers in this...
We don't need to give the people a translation of what Mulan is about.
It's inspirational.
It is. I will not doubt
inspiring.
That.
But other my
so
other
just let it go. Though.
My other pump up jams include "Fix You" by Coldplay. That's the big one. That is the big pump up jam.
So
jam.
Like the
slow build up jams.
"Fix You." So basically, a suicidal song.
I love it.
It makes
you feel.
You're all
like
about-
the songs that make you feel, and I can just like close my eyes and just get really into the song. And slow, like that slow build. So it starts slow and then builds you up and it gets you ready and then calms back down.
See, I can't. I need those type of songs for me chill me out and like
I
listen to them on a plane.
I want to be chilled out.
Yeah.
And so I've got other ones here. I've got Believe by Mumford & Sons. That's a big one as well. Arizona by Kings of Leon. And Time by Hans Zimmer. It's the closing piece of music in Inception.
Ah.
It's actually really super good.
Hans Zimmer at Coachella this year, ladies and gentlemen, as well. Get
really?
Around. Yep.
At Coachella?
Yep.
Wow.
And he's touring Australia in March as well.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't know. Play a festival. That's weird.
It's anyway, going to be sick.
You know, the Time by Hans Zimmer, it's just something you put your beats on, completely silent around, and you just hear the orchestral music.
That's some free advertising for Beats, by the way. They love the advertising. Can we get a free pair of Beats, Mr. Dre and Jimmy?
I'll get back to yours in a sec, but I also like relaxing music, like you were saying. Feeling Good by Muse or Bublé. They're both covers.
Bublé.
Yes, Michael Bublé.
So do you listen to Christmas carols when you're...
His Christmas carols are really, really good. my mum buys the Bublé.
Of course
Christmas
she does.
CD always. But it's actually good. He's actually a really good singer.
I love the boob.
He's amazing singer. And Feeling Good is one of my favorite songs. It's got like that jazzy feel. Skyfall by Adele. Cold Desert by Kings of Leon. And most orchestral pieces. So going back to like Mozart, Beethoven. That sort of music. It chills you out. And it gets you focused and ready to play.
I am very different, Nicholas.
Let's hear your rap and gangster G.
Gangsta G, you are so white it hurts. Like, I have 213 songs in my playlist.
200? Jesus!
It's my basketball playlist. I literally call it
How long do you play basketball for?
Well, like, I want a selection, mate. So, like,
variety, yeah.
Within here, I've also got sort of similar to you in inspirational. So, stuff like Sia. I'm a big fan of Sia.
Yes, actually, I do, like, Chandelier.
That is
a sick
song. I prefer, Sia in general. Sia, shout out to Sia.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's
And then
she's
in terms
great.
Of the hippity hop hippo-ness that I've got a bit of Weekend, a bit of Ray Schmurda with Black Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Black Beatles in the city.
The group of the Weekend.
Yes, the group of the Weekend. can't go past Drizzy. I like a bit of trap as well, a bit of trap music, a bit of Skrillex, a bit of What's So Not, a little bit of Flume, a bit of pop. I've got a bit of course, you can't go past Kanye and The Throne, a bit of Jay-Z as well. In terms of rock, can't go past The Strokes, a bit of Juice Box, a bit of Reptilia.
Yeah, like those fast sort of songs, they're great songs, but I don't know, I want to be calm.
Fair enough. Run the Jewels as well, their new album's sick, by the way. A bit of Riri, I don't mind a bit of Riri.
Riri, yeah, fair enough, yep.
Queens of the Stone Age, they're all a really good one.
Yep.
Odd Future, bit of old school Odd Future, bit of Pusha T, N.E.R.D., Wheezy.
You're not really sticking to a genre here. Over the place.
My three genres when it comes to pump up music, pump up jams are techno, more like electronic music, dance music, hip hop music, rap, hippity hop, Nicholas, and rock. Those are my three genres. I prefer when it comes to playing basketball, a bit of hip hop. Like, you know, if you want to go quintessential Drake, Drake and Future, a bit of Jumpman. Yep. Jumpman. That's... And then, or else, you could have maybe even somewhere a bit left field, a bit of Chance, a bit of Beano. Pumps me up.
Beano, actually, I play it whilst playing ball. Like, I listen to Childish Gambino whilst playing ball.
He's the widest rapper going around, though.
I love him.
I love Beano.
Love Childish Gambino. But in terms of, you know, if I was actually, like, competing, playing a game, got to be chilled. Yeah. Got to be relaxed.
Got a bit of Arctic Monkeys in here as well.
Yeah.
Bit of ASAP Rocky. ASAP Kanye. Can't go past Kanye. Kings of Leon with McFeelis. Underdog.
Again, another like, big... Big rock songs, yeah.
Yep, Underdog, bit of Fall Out Boy, Sugar We're Going Down.
Oh, yeah.
Paramore, with the monster song from the Transformers movie.
That is actually such a good, that gets me pumped up.
It makes me
angry.
That
is one of the faster songs where I'm just like, I'm ready to,
I wanna
ready to hit people.
I want to drum that song. In fact, during the break, I'm going to drum that song.
It is such a good song.
And then, you know, a bit of Major Lazer, a bit of DJ Khaled, some Chainsmokers, Skrillex. But I digress, I could speak of all day, and I mean, I love my music, but... We're going to go... Do we have social media? No one hit us on social media, did we?
No.
I'm sad. Hit us up on social media.
This is upsetting, people. Hit us up on social media. Questions. This social media part is... Well, it's after the break, but it's not going to be a thing. It's for you guys. For ask us questions on our take on certain things. That was a bad...
Basketball things.
English words.
Just ball things, mate.
Yeah, just ask us anything about ball things.
Anything about JBT. Just ball things. And Nick will make a man out of me right after this break. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Make sure you give us a like on Facebook.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast.
Nick has made a man of me in that break.
Oh, yeah, that's what we said on that last
break.
That's
what I said.
Yes, that is, yep. I did. It was unpleasant for me.
For me? It was not.
We'll kick off right here, straight into our DBS section.
Who we got?
Jackie.
Yeah.
It is a All-Star inspired DBS. So
yes, I like it.
It's with a bit of a twist.
We've got an extra player, don't we?
Yes, the DBS has a fourth name. So we're going to DBS the backcourt of the All-Star starters. So we've got Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Steph Curry, and DeMar DeRozan. So... Jack, who are you dropping, who are you benching, and who are you starting?
We're both dropping DeRozan and Kyrie Irving.
That is true.
I think most NBA pundits, fans would
agree.
Would agree, yep. The only difference I have with you, just purely for the sake of debate, I've benched James Harden, who I think will be MVP this year, and I've started Stephen Curry. The only reason, let me just say, because like I know we wanted to do the same, but it's no fun unless there's a bit of debate in DBS. The debate
in
DBS...
It can be the same.
Well,
we can just discuss why we're benching and like why would we drop bench.
People
why?
Have told us before that like when we're agreeing on things, it's not as fun. You need to... The D and DBS...
Then you need to be sincere in your...
The DBS should stand for debate, bants, and silliness. That's what DBS is all about. So I'm going to bench Harden, and there's only a few reasons I have for this. One is because he, as a sixth man with Oklahoma City in 2012 or 2014, he was a superstar. He had better numbers per 35 than KD and Russell Westbrook. He was as good a playmaker, if not a better playmaker, than both of those two. So that's why I've got him coming off my bench, because as a sixth man, there's no better player. Whereas Steph Curry, he produces best when he's on the court. And he starts, and he gets your team flowing early. He jacks up a few threes, and she goes bang. Whereas James Harden can do it off the bench, I think. And he's proven that. So that's purely why I have benched the beard.
So you've benched the best player in the NBA right now?
Correct.
The best player in the NBA right now?
Yes.
He's got a PER of 27. Remember when we were saying the 20 is a good PER?
Yep.
He's got 27 PER.
Yep, but Nick...
He got stat of the week with assisting 83 points.
82. Get it right, mate. 1 point less.
82 points. Scoring, creating, and assisting 82 points per 48 minutes.
You know what? I probably like just literally benched him just to piss you off because he's your MVP pick as well.
your MVP pick as well.
No, mine. Remember mine at the start of the year? That were
oh, yes, yeah, Russ. You had Russ, yep. All right. Yep.
Who enough, should be starting in the All-Star game, by the way?
DeMar and Kyrie both dropped because they're just not as good as the other two, which is sad because we've dropped both the East guards, starting guards.
West Side.
That being said, if DeMar DeRozan was swapped with
Kyle Lowry
or
Isaiah Thomas,
I would be putting Isaiah Thomas above Steph Curry.
Ooh, yeah, I probably would as well, based on this season in terms of efficiency.
I mean, just getting some stats in.
Who you got, mate? What stats have we got? We got DeMar, Kyrie.
Kyrie's PER, player efficiency rating, is the lowest
of the four.
Out of the four.
Okay, well, so that makes sense.
He was undeniably a drop. I think for me, Kyrie Irving and DeMar DeRozan were undeniable drops.
Right.
DeMar DeRozan is shooting like crazy numbers.
Yeah, his 2-point field goal is.
Yeah, I mean he's averaging 28 points a game.
He's like, a flat scorer.
That is crazy.
But Kyle Lowry is getting him those looks.
Yes.
So.
I mean he can create his own 2-point shot, but in terms of an actual general on the field, which is what these other two are, general on the court, which are what these other two are, Steph Curry and James Harden, they're just not as good.
So why did you, Nick, let's just put it simply. I've benched James Harden. It's going to create controversy and I'll get a heap of hate, and it's justified, but I just wanted to, create a bit of controversy, stir the pot, get the bants going. Why'd you start James Harden? I mean, it's pretty easy. There's a lot of reasons you could.
For obvious reasons. Averaging 28 points game, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, shooting 44.
He will be the MVP this year.
His efficiency rating is 27, like I said, which is 2 above Steph, I believe.
He's the most...
5 above Steph.
Charles Barkley, I think, said he's one of the most impactful players he's seen ever.
Yeah, and again, it's more the fact that, his impact on the court, his ability to reel in players off the bench and who start with him as well. He's just the leader on this court, and you want your leader to start.
Yep, you do.
Curry can come off the bench and create amazing shots. He can hit down 7 threes if he wants, which is going to be amazing bench scoring. But in terms of leading a team, I want Harden to start on the field.
Righty-o.
And he's,
There's our DBS for this week, ladies and gents.
Not much debate in
no,
that one.
No, it's not. I mean, look, it's pretty obvious.
The drops were fairly obvious. Yeah. I mean, the fact that DeRozan got as a starter in that game was kind of a reason why he got dropped as well.
He got it in a tiebreaker.
But it would have been a lot more interesting if Lowry had gotten that position instead.
And then I could have dropped Steph again. I think I've dropped him before in another DBS. But
I would have had to bench IT. Yeah.
Recap and DBS. Nick and I have both dropped DeMar DeRozan and Kyrie Irving. I have benched James Harden and started Stephen Curry, while Nick has benched Curry and started James Harden. Nick, outro.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
I'm good.
And all right, go for it, mate. Your moment to shine.
All right, give me a Nick DR. That was a tom. It wasn't a snare. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show. We're on 17. We want to hit that 20. Because it'll help other people to find us and add to the conversation. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast. Nick, what's your handle?
At JBT Real NJ.
At the J-Man JBT. Or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in touch with us personally on Twitter at JBT Real NJ. Just repeating, at JBT Real NJ and at the J-Man JBT. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast. Give the live video a watch. Give us a like, review. You know what to do. Give us a comment. Or on Instagram at JBTPod, and also through email at JBTPodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it is you guys who make the show great, so we appreciate any and every correspondence heading our way. So until next week, Nick.
Keep ballin', superstars.